بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Okay, let's start. Why do you laugh, Muhammad? Huh? Why do you laugh? It's because I have three mics on. That's okay. Did I say your name, Muhammad? Oh, sorry. I wasn't supposed to say your name, Muhammad. Huh? Yes, yes, we'll start. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman. Okay. So, jokes aside, let's start. We're doing just 20 today, inshallah. Just 20 has the remainder of Surah An-Naml and Surah Qasas. Surah An-Naml is Surah number 27. Surah Qasas, which is Surah number 28. And about half of Surah An-Kabut, which is Surah number 29. So, there's basically one major Surah in it and half of two Surahs that are shorter. Surah Qasas is the last of the Taseen Surahs. And then from Surah An-Kabut, we get into four straight Surahs where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by saying Alif Lam Mim. There's six Surahs in Quran that start with Alif Lam Mim. Two are in the beginning, Baqarah and Ali Imran. And then four are right together here in this part of the Quran. An-Kabut, Rum, Luqman, and Sajda. Okay. And again, we don't really know why, but it's just, this is, at least we can see a pattern that they're all together in one place. And their theme is similar, they're revealed at the same time. So there is some things that we can comment on. For example, it said that the surahs that Taseen Mim have a lot of mention of Musa alayhi salam, which is true. Or any surah that begins with Ta has a mention of Musa alayhi salam, which is true. But again, we don't really know the correlation between the huruf muqatta'at, the cut off huruf, and its significance. Surah An-Naml, last time you were mentioning that Surah An-Naml has the big idea of the truth is not always weak. And as demonstrated by Sulaiman alayhi salam, who was politically extremely powerful. And Surah Qasas, then actually, I'm just going to skip to Surah Qasas and come back to Surah An-Naml. Surah Qasas then goes on and begins when Allah says, وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ. And we wanted that we wanted to give our favor, confer our favor upon those who were weak. وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً. And we wanted to make them leaders. وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ. And we wanted to make them inheritors of the earth, in the sense that they would be ruling the earth, give them political power and authority on earth. Who is he talking about? He's talking about Bani Israel and Fir'aun. Bani Israel were the people of truth. Musa al-Islam was the true prophet of Allah. Bani Israel were the followers of Musa. And Fir'aun was evil and falsehood. So in Surah Al-Qasas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us how he can take an extremely weak nation politically, doesn't have much power, in fact has no political power, but they're upon the truth. And then can elevate them to be the leaders. And can actually make them topple the dominant political force of the time, which is Fir'aun. Now, this is, you know, the Qur'an is there, فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ, in it is our reminder. And we see this in our times today, that we have our brothers and sisters in Palestine who are being crushed. And there is no doubt that what we are upon is the truth, and what they are upon is not the truth. But at the same time, we are the ones that are getting crushed and manhandled, subhanallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our brothers and sisters who are dying as shuhada, and to, you know, wake up the ummah, to bring about a permanent change. But that said, the interesting thing is there's so many parallels. As I was reading Surah Qasas and just preparing for that, and between our situation today, we see a weak nation, politically weak people, oppressed by a very politically strong people, but they're weaker. They're upon the truth. And Allah says, we wanted to make the weaker ones stronger. So this is something that Allah has done historically, and this is something that He will do, inshallah, again in the future. But it's just a matter of the people who are on the truth to remain on it and to wake up and start taking this thing seriously. And what's interesting is, now the one in this surah who was the weak one is now strong. Right? They're acting like Fir'aun. Bani Israel are acting like Fir'aun now. And just in Surah Qasas, Allah describes how they were, Bani Israel, they were the weak ones, and Fir'aun was the one who was oppressing them, and how he switched the roles. So really fascinating parallels. SubhanAllah, the Qur'an always throws out these parallels. And also, in Surah Qasas, we find the story of Musa alayhi salam, but the story of Musa alayhi salam pre-prophethood, before he became a prophet. His life before being a prophet, because that also was very full of incidents. And this is the passage that, inshallah, that we'll study today in detail. How, you know, what happened Musa alayhi salam since he was a baby. So I'm just going to skip that and go through the rest of the juz and come back to this, inshallah. It also covers what after Musa alayhi salam becomes the he finally receives revelation in ayah number 29, فَلَمَّا قَضَى مُوسَى الْأَجَلَ وَسَارَ بِأَهْلِهِ آنَسَ مِنْ جَانِبِ الطُّورِ نَارًا. He saw the fire from the side of the mountain of Sinai, and he went there, and that's when he became a prophet. Now he was given miracles, and he said, you know, give me my brother Harun to strengthen me as I can take this message to Fir'aun, who's a tyrant. And then there is a very interesting passage where Musa alayhi salam comes to Fir'aun, presents the truth, gives him all the evidences that are needed. And Fir'aun says, Ya ayyuhal mala, ayah number 38, Ma alimtu lakum min ilahin ghayri. I don't know any other god for you but me. Meaning, he says, I'm the only one who has authority here in this land. There's nobody else who has any authority in this land. So, فَأُوْقِدْ لِي يَا هَامَانْ عَلَى الطِّينِ. Then make for me, يَا هَامَانْ عَلَى الطِّينِ, ignite a fire for me, and make for me a huge building, because you would bake clay to make bricks, and that's how you build a building. فَجَعَلْ لِي صَرْحًا لَعَلِّي أَطَّلِعُ إِلَىٰ إِلَهِ مُوسَى. He says, I want to climb this structure and talk to the God of Musa. Right? وَإِنِّي لَأَظُنُّهُ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. And I think he is lying. And this is basically what happens when a tyrant is about to lose their power. They start to go a little crazy. When a tyrant is about to lose control, they start to go crazy. And this is something that Allah mentions. And just as he mentions that, he says, فَأَخَذْنَاهُ وَجُنُودَهُ. The end was near, and the end was mentioned that we took him and his army. فَنَبَذْنَاهُمْ فِي الْيَمْ. And we threw them into the sea. فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الظَّالِمِينَ. So go look at how the end of the wrongdoers was. Look at how it all ended for them. Stark words for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he mentions in Surah Qasas how the Quraysh, in ayah number from in this page here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the وَمَا كُنْتَ بِجَانِبِ الْغَرْبِيِّ إِذْ قَضَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى الْأَمْرَ وَمَا كُنْتَ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. Ayah number 44, saying that you were not there, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we revealed to Musa alayhi salam the commands, and you were not there to see all of this happen. This ayah is important. Allah brings this ayah, He presents this evidence quite a lot in Quran. You weren't there, you weren't there, you weren't there. Which basically shows that Allah is trying to tell the audience who's listening that the Prophet ﷺ was not there. There is no other way he could get this information besides revelation. He did not have access to historical accounts that were in the Bible. It was not like he was in Medina when the surah was revealed. He was in Mecca. His encounters with the people of the book while he was in Mecca were very limited, if any. The most encounter he had was with Waraqa ibn Nawfal, the cousin of Khadija. And that's before he was a prophet. after he was a prophet, he actually has almost no documented encounters with the Jews and the Christians until he went to Medina. Most of the stories of prophets are actually in Meccan surahs. Legislation is in Medinan surahs. So you add two and two together. What Allah is saying is, there is no way he can get this information with this level of detail, except if it was revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the only plausible explanation. If, for example, the Prophet ﷺ was to be living, you know, in Jerusalem, theoretically speaking, then there is a possibility that he would have, you know, plagiarized from the Jews and the Christians because they would be living in Jerusalem. But he lives in Mecca. There's no access to that information in Mecca. On top of that, he can't even read nor write. His closest access was pre-prophethood to people who are of the people of the book. So him copying is so implausible. Him plagiarizing from the people of the book is so implausible. In fact, it's not even something that should be considered. So Allah presents this again and again as a proof. How is it that this man is telling you all of this about Musa and Harun and Nuh and Hud and Salih when he was not there? And he's telling you detail after detail after detail. This is a proof. This is of the i'jaz of the Quran, of the miracle of the Quran. It has to be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he mentions, for example, the Quraysh. In the same passage, he mentions that Quraysh are saying that فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ عِنْدِنَا قَالُوا لَوْلَا أُوتِيَ مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى. When the Prophet ﷺ comes, they're like, how come he is not given what Musa was given? How come he doesn't have a staff? How come he doesn't have the hand that glows? Right? What's ayah number 48? Why doesn't he have all these miracles? And Allah says, أَوَلَمْ يَكْفُرُوا بِمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى مِنْ قَبْلِ. Did they not disbelieve in what Musa was given previously as well? They're making up this. If sure, okay, Musa was given miracles. Why didn't you believe in Musa then? Right? You're saying, how come he doesn't have what Musa had? Okay, believe in Musa then. But they're not believing in Musa either. And in fact, they say, قَالُوا سِحْرَانِ تَظَاهَرَا. They say that these sihran, two magics, the Torah and the Quran, are two magical books, meaning that they come and they throw off your mind. سِحْرَانِ تَظَاهَرَا. And they're both cooperating, because the Quran mentions the Torah. In the Torah, back in the day, there was some mention of the Prophet ﷺ. They're both cooperating. وَقَالُوا إِنَّا بِكُلِّن كَافِرُونَ. And in this point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, قُلْ, say to them, who are making this claim, فَأْتُوا بِكِتَابٍ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Bring a book from Allah, هُوَ أَهْدَى مِنْهُمَا, that is more, has more guidance than them both, the Quran and the Injil. أَتَّبِعْهُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. I will follow it, I'll be the first one to follow it, if you are truthful. If you're truthful, then do this. If you're truthful in your claim of looking for the truth, then do this. This is a really important point, by the way, that the Prophet ﷺ is being told to say, bring me the truth and I will follow the truth. We're followers of proof and evidence and truth. If someone is saying, okay, the Quran is false, we'll say, okay, bring something that is more truth than the Quran. One of my friends wanted to marry a girl who was Christian, and we were conversing with him and we were like, you know what, you should give her da'wah and this and that. And he said, you know, I already told her that there's zero chance that I would accept Christianity, and but I want you. So he was mentioning that as a side note, and one of my friends who was there, he says, why didn't you say this, that I'm willing to change for the truth? Are you? Let's lay out the evidence, let's bring out the creed, let's examine the scripture, and we'll follow the truth. We'll follow the truth. And we should be confident enough that when we make that claim, that we're confident enough that we'll be able to prove the Quran is the truth. When the Prophet is saying this, or when he's being told by Allah to say this, he's confident enough that there is nothing more truthful than the Quran. That's why he's saying this. But the idea is that in our interaction, we should be able to say that if we're arguing with somebody, or we're trying to convince somebody of Islam, we should be able to say to them, okay, bring evidences, bring the truth, and all of us, let's agree to follow it. Let's all of us agree to follow the truth. And if you are not able to do that, then فَعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَسْتَبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ, then you're just following your desires. If you're not going to be, if you can't be confident enough to follow the truth, you still revert back to your own books, then you should know that you're following your desires. You're not really looking for the, you're not really seeking the truth here. You're not looking for the right answer. You just want to get the answer that satisfies you. And we should be confident enough in the Quran that we can make this claim without any fear whatsoever. The Prophet has been told to make this claim. قُلْ, specifically he's been told, bring a book that is more guided than the Quran and the Torah, I will follow it. أَتَّبِعُهُ. There's also another ayah in the Quran which we'll get to later on. قُلْ إِن كَانَ لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدٌ فَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْعَابِدِينَ. The Prophet says, if there was any, if it, theoretically speaking, if it was possible for Allah to have a son, I would be the first one to be the worshipper of that son. Because I'm looking for the truth here. Right? I'm looking for the truth here. This is the essence of conversing with people when we are trying to engage them in da'wah. Now, in this also, within this context, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings another type of evidence, which is the people of Habasha, Abyssinia, how they accepted Islam. They accepted Islam in Abyssinia, then they came to see the Prophet ﷺ, and their story is mentioned here as well. That, you know, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا, sorry, يُطْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِهِ إِنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّنَا. To show that the people who are looking for the truth, it doesn't matter where they're coming from, and it doesn't matter where they find it. When they find it, they accept it. And we see this in the people of Abyssinia. We saw this in Salman al-Farsi, radiallahu anhu, who traveled so many places looking for the truth, until he finally found it. And then he found it in the Christian priest, he stuck with the Christian priest. And then the next Christian priest, and the next Christian priest, until he finally came to Medina, and that's where he met the Prophet ﷺ. But that, you know, what's called talab, that the desire to look for and seek out the right answer, that's a burning desire. That is what's being described here. And likewise in these people, and Allah describes them in some, in glowing words, that إِنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّنَا. They say, قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِهِ. We believe in it. إِنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّنَا. It is no doubt the truth from our master. إِنَّا كُنَّا مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مُسْلِمِينَ. We were already Muslims before. Meaning we were already looking for this. We were looking for this. And once we found it, it doesn't matter what ethnicity the person is who's claiming it to be, we will accept it. And Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْتَوْنَ أَجْرَهُمْ مَرَّتَيْنَ. These are the people in ayah number 54, they will be given their reward twice over. وَيَدْرَؤُونَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ. And they, because of their iman, their akhlaq becomes so good that when someone is inciting them and saying bad things to them, they actually repel that with good. يَدْرَؤُونَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ. Evil, they repel that with good. Somebody swears at them, they don't swear back, they actually say something good to them. Somebody is showing hatred towards them, they end up making dua for that person. يَدْرَؤُونَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ. The iman causes the akhlaq to become better. It's the faith that causes the akhlaq to get better. SubhanAllah. And that's the point of it. And also, for example, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا اللَّغْوَ. When they are listening to al-lagu, speech that is, you know, a distraction, speech that has no benefit. And in this particular case, context, historical context tells us that this is when Quraysh would come and would argue with them. These people came from Abyssinia. Quraysh comes and Quraysh will say, what's wrong with you? Are you out of your minds? This man, no one accepts this man. He's crazy. You're going to accept him? Right? سَمِعُوا اللَّغْوَ أَعْرَضُوا عَنْهُ. They don't respond. They just leave them. And they say, قَالُوا لَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. For us is what we do, and for you is what you do. We are minding our business, and you mind your business. لا سلام عليكم and peace be with you. That's the best thing you can say to a person. سلام عليكم is a symbolic statement. You know, peace be upon you, and also that's the best thing a person could say to another person. To ask Allah to give them peace. Ask Allah to give them tranquility. سلام عليكم. In the face of such rabid, you know, inciting words. لا نبتغي الجاهلين. We don't want, it's not appropriate that we be جاهلين. We don't want to engage in jahl. And jahl is not just ignorance. Jahl is being irrational, being stirring up somebody emotionally. And that's what the Quraysh were trying to do, trying to stir up their emotions. You are from Abyssinia, you have a king, you have power, you are noble people. You're going to follow this man who's crazy and out of his mind? Just trying to stir up an emotional, make an emotional argument. And they say, لا نبتغي الجاهلين. We don't want to be this. We don't want to be irrational emotionally. And they want to follow the truth. And this is what Allah says about them. This is how Allah praises them, subhanAllah. That they were the ones who were looking for the truth. Also on the same note that Allah says, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتِ. You cannot guide who you love. You can't give guidance to the person that you want. And this is revealed in the context of Abu Talib, the father of Ali, who the Prophet ﷺ loved so dearly. And he did so much for the Prophet, but he didn't accept Islam. And this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, proceeds and mentions this scene from the Day of Judgment. Now, at the very end of this, towards the very end of the surah, the topic of being weak, people of the truth being weak politically, like Bani Israel were, but Allah made them powerful and made them overcome Fir'aun. The Prophet ﷺ was politically weak at this time, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him powerful eventually and made him overcome Quraysh as well. This idea is that's what the surah is presenting. Then Allah mentions a very interesting story in ayah number 76, in which he says, إِنَّ قَارُونَ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ. He mentions the name of Qarun. And Qarun was a man from the people of Musa. Some scholars say he was the cousin of Musa alayhi salam. But instead of helping the cause of Bani Israel, he actually, Bagha alayhim, he went against them. He was tyrannical against Bani Israel. He was basically a puppet of Fir'aun. Qarun was somebody that Fir'aun installed from Bani Israel. He took somebody from Bani Israel and installed him and gave him power and authority over Bani Israel as a puppet to control the people of Bani Israel. And Allah describes Qarun and his characteristics. Number one, he had so much money. آتَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ أُولِي الْقُوَّةِ. He had so much money, it's almost unimaginable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an example of how much money he had, is that the storage rooms that used to have big locks and big keys, he says he had the keys were so heavy that you needed a band of strong young men to carry those keys. Now imagine how many storage rooms there must be, and how much wealth he accumulated in those storage rooms. It almost blows the person's mind. So this person was so corrupt that he sold out entirety of Bani Israel for his own personal gain. For his own personal gain. And there's a very interesting conversation between him and or between somebody from Bani Israel. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ قَوْمُهُ لَا تَفْرَى. In fact, somebody from Bani Israel or all of Bani Israel is saying to him, you know, don't gloat, don't be overly happy. And وَابْتَغِي فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. Reminding him, all this money he should have, you should invest it in seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. But don't forget your needs here in this dunya either. وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. And be good like Allah has been good to you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَلَا تَبْغِي الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And don't cause corruption, don't put things in chaos. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Allah does not love those who cause corruption and cause chaos. Now, his response was very predictable. He says, "Innama utituhu ala ilmin indi." I have this money because of my knowledge, and only because of my knowledge. It's all because of me, and nobody has a share in this. I can do whatever I want with my money. Now, what's interesting, really, really phenomenal, is Qarun's story is mentioned here because Qarun was the puppet that Fir'aun had installed to basically rule over Bani Israel. And this is historically what any tyrant does. The colonizing British, they did this at all times. They were always installed puppets. For example, India, you would have the Maharaja and the Nawabs of India who are puppets of the queen and the king. And they would be given lots of money and lots of authority, and the major contracts were given all to them. And even to this day, when you have a tyrannical government that wants to oppress the people, they make allies with the people or with the same ethnicity as the people that they're oppressing. They make political allies with the people or the same ethnicity as the ones that they're oppressing. And those political allies are nothing but puppets. And they're installed, and they're given wealth, and they're given, you know, military contracts, and they're given military aid. They're all Qarun. They're all Qarun. Qarun was not just a person. He was, Allah SWT is giving us an idea of, this is a personality that is found in oppressed nations. The guy from the oppressed nation who sells himself out, sells out his people, so he can get some money, and he's doing that while making sure everybody is, you know, everybody else is being oppressed. Even in the civil rights movement before that led to the abolishment of slavery, you had what was called the House Negro. The House Negro was what? He was the one who was the puppet of the slave master, making sure that every other Negro suffered as well, and was remained in their place, and made sure that nobody else could escape this wretched situation. The Qarun is the representation of that, of the puppet that the tyrant installs, the political alliances that the tyrant makes, from the people of the same ethnicity, min qawmi Musa. The political alliances of the ones that are being oppressed right now, our brothers in Palestine, where are all the political alliances of the opposition from? They're all Arabs, right? They're all the same ethnicity. So, subhanAllah, this is Qarun is presented as a case study. You will find this, and until Qaruns are removed, or until Qarun gets fixed, it's not going to end well. And subhanAllah, Allah mentions what the end of Qarun is. He says, فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِذَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. This particular person was swallowed up by the earth. But this is a symbolic punishment. These people will also go back in the earth, right, when they die. The Qaruns of today, the Qaruns historically, they will go back in the earth as well. And when they go back in the earth, they have to pay for what they've done. And at that point, مَمَا كَانَ لَهُ مِنْ فِيَةٍ يَنْصُرُونَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. No one's going to come to their help at that time. There's no political allegiances when they've gone on the earth, when they've died. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُنْتَصِرِينَ. And there's no help coming at that time. Very, very powerful. The surah is so powerful, because it shows us tyrant and oppressed people, and how a tyrant makes sure the people remains oppressed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought out the truth from the oppressed people and made them superior. This is what he does historically, and inshallah this is what he will do in the future as well. And then Surah Qasas concludes, and Surah Ankabut is started. Surah Ankabut is very, very, it's a surah, subhanAllah, that I wish we could spend a lot more time on. Surah Ankabut has a big idea, which is, the big idea is fitna. Fitna being a burning trial and a burning test. And ayah number 2, Allah says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think that they will be left while saying, آمَنَّا, we believed, وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ, that they won't be tested? Now put it in context of being oppressed and try to overcome an oppressor. Right? In that context, it makes so much sense. People who are oppressed are saying, we're believers, how come we are suffering? But Allah says, they think that they will say amanna and they won't be tested. Hum la yuftanun. It's not possible. This is the name of the game. You say you believe, get ready to get tested. And fitna is particularly the process of purifying gold. Fitna is the process of purifying gold. You put it in a hot oven and you melt it until the impurities bubble up and you can just kind of wipe them away and you're left with pure gold. But the temperature has to be so hot for the pure to be separated from the impure. That's the fitna. And that's, subhanAllah, what this surah is telling us. That the tests of life will be so hot. It will be so hot that it will be almost unbearable, but it's done for a purpose. It's done to separate the good from the bad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that for وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Absolutely no doubt that we had put those before us, before them in fitna. فَلَيَعْنَمْ أَلْنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. So Allah could show clearly who is the one who is the truthful. وَلَيَعْنَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can show clearly who is the truth, who is a liar. Now the translation says, make evident, which is a good translation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can show or make evident who is truly believing and who is not believing, who is lying about their beliefs. In this particular surah An-Kabut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions different types of fitna. For example, he mentions, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا, that a person's parents could become a fitna for them, a trial and test for them. That they become barriers. In ayah number 8, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ لِتُشْرِكَ بِي. To the point that they could do jihad against the son or the daughter. جَاهَدَاكَ. جَاهَدَ, from that word we get the word jihad, the noun. They could, the battle in the house could be so intense, it could resemble like a real battle. جَاهَدَاكَ لِتُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. But if it gets to a point where the parents are compelling or forcing to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, particularly do shirk, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, then don't obey them. At the same time, in another surah Allah says, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Be good to them, live nicely with them, and remember that إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ, that to Allah is the return eventually, and He will inform everybody what they were doing. Also what's mentioned in this surah in the context of fitna is the person, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ, ayah number 10. The one who has doubts about his faith and he says his faith is not really, you know, it's not strong, it's not, it doesn't fulfill the requirements of what faith is supposed to do. Faith is supposed to give us the ability to ride the highs and lows of life. Like we make dua, وَمِنَ الْيَقِينِ مَا تُهَوِّنُ بِهِ عَلَيْنَا مَصَائِبَ الدُّنْيَا. We make this dua in witr, that, oh Allah, give us the certainty and yaqeen that will allow us to that will make the difficulties of life easy. The certainty in iman, yaqeen, to a level where the difficulties in life don't seem that bad anymore. That's actually one of the goals of having faith. That when something bad happens, we don't freak out, we don't react negatively. We actually know what's going on, we can control our emotions, and we can keep moving on. Now this person unfortunately doesn't have that. In ayah number 10, it said, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ. It's from some people say that we believe in Allah. فَإِذَا أُوذِيَ فِي اللَّهِ. And when he is put in difficulties, because he's believing in Allah, جَعَلَ فِتْنَةَ النَّاسِ كَعَذَابِ اللَّهِ. He considers this difficulty, this friction between people as they're living together, anything that happens in his life because of somebody else, he considers this as if Allah is raining upon him his punishment. He doesn't realize that Allah was testing him to see his reaction. see really if faith is bearing fruit, iman is bearing its fruits or not. And when wala in ja'a nasrun min rabbika la yaquluna inna kunna ma'akum, and when something good happens, he's like, yes, yes, I'm a believer as well. Give me the good stuff too. This is not the attitude of the believer. Like the Prophet said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنْ أَصَابَتُهُ ضَرَّاءُ صَبَرْ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتُهُ سَرَّاءُ شَكَرْ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَلَيْسَ ذَاكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. Then this is only for the believer, the one who has iman. What is it that's only for the believer? If something bad happens, he is patient. He doesn't freak out, he doesn't react. And that's good for him. And if something good happens, he doesn't go crazy in celebration. He thanks Allah. Remembers that it's from Allah. And that is good for him as well. فَكَانَ خَيْرَ اللَّهِ. In both situations, it's good. That's the point of iman. This person doesn't understand that. So Allah mentions this misunderstanding of what iman is supposed to do. People start believing, they don't see something, their life gets a little harder, they're like, what's the point of iman in the first place? But actually, that's the point, to test you. Then Allah mentions, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. Number 14, we have no doubt sent Nuh alayhi salam to his people. فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا. He lived with them for 1,000 years, except for 50, meaning 950 years. This is the only time in Quran Allah mentions how long Nuh alayhi salam was with his people. In other places, he doesn't mention how long Nuh alayhi salam was engaged in giving people da'wah. Now this is interesting. This is interesting because we were talking about fitna, difficulties and trials that come because of a person's iman. And subhanAllah, Nuh alayhi salam had the longest fitna for 950 years. Yeah. Can you stop it please? 950 years, he had fitna. He was put through test after test after test for 950 years. That's the longest you can get. Then he mentions Ibrahim alayhi salam, whose fitna was not the longest, but was the most intense. How so? Because he was put in the fire. Literally, he was put in fitna. You see? He mentions the one who went through the longest. And then he mentions the one who went through the most intense in one moment. That's Ibrahim al-Islam. Literally thrown in the fire. Because he opposed his people. إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ عَبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاتَّقُوهُ. He mentions, for example, in number 24, فَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا اقْتُرُوا وَأُحَرِّقُوا. Kill him or burn him. Burn him at the stake. Right? فَأَنْجَاهُ اللَّهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. But Allah saved him from the fire. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. In this historical incident, Allah saving Ibrahim from the fire, there are many, many ayat, many, many signs for those who want to believe. For people who have some belief, for them there's many, many ayat in this. يؤمنون, those who have faith. يؤمنون, أرادوا الإيمان. أرادوا أن يؤمنوا, they want to have some belief. SubhanAllah. So for both situations, there's lots and lots of ayat. So he mentions their iman, fitna as well. And he mentions also all the different prophets who went after in a very, very quick manner. Lut alayhi salam, and wa ila madiyana akhahum shu'ayba, wa adan wa thamuda, wa qad tabayyana lakum min masakinihim. All the different prophets in a very quick manner, because he says in ayah number 40, towards the end of the juz, فَكُلًّا أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ. And also before that, وَقَارُونَ وَفِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ, ayah number 39. And Qarun and Fir'aun and Haman. Qarun, the puppet of Fir'aun, the political puppet. Fir'aun, the tyrant. And Haman, his main military or his main strategic advisor. This trifecta of evil. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ مُوسَى بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا كَانُوا سَابِقِينَ. That no doubt, absolutely no doubt, Musa came to them with the truth and bayinat, but they were too arrogant, they couldn't lower themselves, and wama kanu sabiqin, and they were not able to outlast the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he mentions that all these people that went through fitna, what happened actually to them at the end? فَكُلًّا أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ. Ayah number 40 says, all of them, كُلًّا أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ, we took them for their, we took them to task because of their sins. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِ حَاصِبًا. From them is the one that we sent upon him, حَاصِبًا, a storm of stones. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَخَذَتْهُ صَيْحًا. And from them are those who were seized by a صَيْحًا, a blast, a shriek. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ خَسَفْنَا بِهِ الْأَرْضِ. And from them are those who were swallowed by the earth. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَغْرَقْنَا. And from them are those who we drowned. أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ حَاصِبًا, as the people of Lut. Stones are rained upon them. The أَخَذَتْهُ صَيْحًا, the people who were killed by the shriek, by the yell, were the people of عَاد and ثَمُود. The ones who خَسَفْنَا بِهِ الْأَرْضِ, the earth swallowed them up, was قَارُون. And likewise, the one who was drowned was Fir'aun and Haman. So all of this is mentioned, and Allah mentioned at the very end of this, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظْلِمَهُمْ. It was not that Allah wanted to wrong them or oppress them. It's not that Allah was out to get them. وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. But the reality is that they were wronging themselves. أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Exclusively their own selves they were wronging. Not يَظْلِمُونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ. كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Them, all the wrong was with them. All the wrong was in them. All the oppression was in them. All the arrogance and turning away the truth was in them. And thus they were put through this. He concludes, the juz concludes with Allah mentioning a really beautiful example, which is مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتًا وَإِنَّ أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. That the example of those who have taken anybody else as a wali. Wali is somebody who is very close. This could be somebody that a person is worshipping. This could be an authority that the person is unconditionally obeying. This could be a person that they love so much that their love drives them to, you know, disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Clear disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This could be, you fill in the blank on what that could be. Because wali is a slightly open-ended word. Somebody who's very close. Like the Prophet said, Sammillah وَقُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكَ. Say the name of Allah and eat from what's close to you in the plate, right, of the manners. So وَلَا يَلِي is to be close, like it's at hand. So wali is somebody who's really close. So this is anybody besides Allah. مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. And Dunillah tells us that this person who is doing so realizes that their wali is below Allah. Dun is lower. Min ghayrillah will be other than Allah. This person doesn't realize that this entity is lower than Allah. But in this case, subhanAllah, these people actually realize that these things are lower than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they still continue doing it. Their example is like the example of the spider, Al-Ankabut. And this is what the surah is named after. What does the Ankabut do? اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتَ. It takes a house. شُكْرًا جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. It takes a house. Now what is the house of the spider? It's a spider web. And as all of us, mashallah, who live in a place where there are spider webs, significant spider webs, and maybe you don't clean them as much, it's very easy to get rid of them, right? It's just one swipe and they're gone. The spider could have been living there and would have fortified it for a very long time, but a swipe of, you know, the Swiffer or whatever, and it's gone. That it's so weak. So Allah says that is the example of the people who have taken anybody else to be their wali besides Allah or below Allah. That relationship is so, you know, flimsy. That relationship is so flimsy. It's not strong. The relationship between Allah and His slave is a strong relationship. لَنْ فِصَامَ لَهَا. It will never be broken. It will never be broken. Even though the big idea of the surah is fitna, Allah will definitely put people in fitna. He will definitely see how good their faith is. He will definitely try people. Right? But that bond is always there. Just like we read in the story that Allah always brings out the people of faith, of people of iman and the truth above the people, above the oppressors, above the ones who are going against them. Like in Surah Qasas we saw that you had an oppressed nation but they were on the truth, and eventually they came up and they excelled over the people who were the oppressors. This is what Allah does with the people who stick with Him. They're gonna win either in this dunya or the akhirah, one way or the other. So that is a lanfisam alaha, that strength, that bond is very strong, it will never break. Whereas these people, this bond is very fragile, very futile, very weak. That thing, the person that a person loves madly, that's driving them to disobey Allah, you know, could stop loving them. Or they start to develop some hatred for them. Something that they do, something happens, and all of a sudden it's not the same anymore. That bond is very futile. It can break within a matter of minutes. It's just a matter of, it's just emotions. It's a person that a person, or an authority that is being obeyed unconditionally. That authority loses their power, their political power. That ideology loses its steam. And all of a sudden, it's a, you know, yesterday's news. And that bond is broken again. That bond is broken again. So wali, the idea of taking anybody but Allah as a wali, is, Allah says, like taking a spider's web as your home. Because that home will break very easily. That home will break very easily. And that bond is very weak and fragile. And he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ مِن شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. He says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ. And these examples are the ones we present to people. فَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. But only the people of knowledge are the ones who understand it. The ones who are seeking to understand, they're studying to understand, they are the true ones who truly understand these kind of examples. It takes some thought, it takes some thinking to get to the bottom of the connection between the house of the spider and the connection between worshipping or taking anybody as a wali besides Allah. It takes a bit of thinking, it takes a bit of knowledge. You have to know how the spider's web works, you have to know how the reality of iman is, and the reality of taking a wali besides Allah is. All these things you have to know before you can realize this. وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. Only the ones who have knowledge will truly understand. This juz is concluded with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ. That Allah has created the skies and the earth in truth. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. In this there is no doubt a great sign, a big sign for the ones who have faith. مُؤْمِنِينَ. Now the ism is used, not the يُؤْمِنُونَ. لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. No, this is لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Because the ones who have faith, the creation of the skies and the earth reaffirms their iman, and it keeps reaffirming it. Great sign. He says, after that, what happens when they have learned about the creation? أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. Read what's in the book, what's been revealed in the book. The ayat in the book, the great signs in the book, remind them of the great signs around them. And the great signs around them remind them of the book. So when they see something, they're like, SubhanAllah, I read, that reminds me of the ayah in Quran, أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ. أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. They read. And then because of that, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ. The natural inclination is, there is a thankfulness that develops. When a person can make connections between scripture and life, thankfulness develops in them. Gratitude develops. And what's the greatest way of showing gratitude? أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ. Establishing salah to show our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And particularly Allah says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. The salah, absolutely no doubt, it prevents or prohibits, not prevents, prohibits from fahsha, filthiness, immorality. And fahisha generally in the Quran is used for a action that is immoral of a sexual nature. وَالْمُنْكَرِ is all evil. Al-munkar is anything that is evil, anything that is apprehensive, anything that is reprehensible, that's al-munkar. Now, this ayah is so incredible. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. If a person finds themselves engaged in fahsha, in immoralities, engaged in munkar, then the implication here is the salah is not good enough, and the iman is not strong enough. if the iman is strong enough and the salah is good enough, that will prevent and that will prohibit the person from doing immoralities and from engaging in evil, if it is strong enough. But if it is not, then a person who keeps falling back into this, this is means that that salah is not good enough yet. It needs to be worked on. It needs to be continually improved, and the iman has to be continually improved. How do we improve our iman? Again, studying the ayat in the scripture, connecting them to the ayat outside the scripture. This is the basic formula that's given to us. وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, and the remembrance of Allah is greater, it's better. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ, and Allah knows what you are doing. So, this implication, we started with the idea of fitna in the surah. The implication is that salah is one of the ways we can navigate fitna. If we are sticking with our salah and doing a very good job in salah, then that's a really good sign. Because now we can overcome the fitna of fahsha and munkar. That's two major types of fitna that could be a person could suffer. Like the Prophet said that the biggest fitna I have left for my nation is the fitna of women, right? Of the women in particular. Meaning the attraction towards them, particularly the attraction in a fahsha sense, a immoral sense. It's okay to be attracted to women, of course, alhamdulillah, right? But this particular hadith is talking about the desire to do something evil, immoral, with women. That, the Prophet said, is the biggest fitna. So, fitna is overcome through strong iman, and so we realize the point of life, things are put in perspective, and through salah. Salah that connects us with Allah, salah that reminds us of Allah, salah that reminds us that we'll be standing in front of Allah one day, just like we're standing in front of Him right now. That's salah. Right? SubhanAllah, that's a difficult salah. It's a hard salah to pray. But that's the kind of salah that تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. So, this is in Surah Ankabut. Now, let's go back and let's backtrack to the Surah Qasas, and let's look at, in a bit more detail, the passage in Surah Qasas of Musa alayhi salam. In fact, even before that, I'm just going to go to the beginning of Surah, beginning of the Juz, and Surah Naml, the idea of the truth being very strong and politically, in Surah Naml, in the beginning of Surah Naml, ayah number 59, قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَىٰ أَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ أَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. This passage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks this question multiple times. Is Allah better or those that they are worshipping besides Allah? أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ, is there anybody besides Allah that can be a God? أَمَّنْ جَعَلَ الْأَرْضَ قَرَارًا, أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ, is there anybody besides Allah that can be a God? Anybody that can be a worthy of worship besides Allah? Again, in number 62, أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ, and number 63, أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Notice how many times this phrase repeats. Also, ayah number 64, أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times this statement repeats in this passage. أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. And once he says, أَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ أَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ, is Allah better or the ones that they're doing shirk with? To show, because he's bringing proof after proof, logical proof, how Allah is the one who is the truth. Allah is the one who is the truth. And anything, everything else that they that is worshipped besides Allah is falsehood. And also towards the end of this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions something, ayah number 82, وَإِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَوْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ, another, something from the Qur'an that's very interesting, أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِنَ الْأَرْضِ, when the word befalls them, we will bring out for them a creature, مِنَ الْأَرْضِ, from the earth, تُكَلِّمُهُمْ, that will speak to them, أَنَّ النَّاسَ كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا لَا يُقِنُونَ, the people were not believing in the ayat of Allah. This is a prediction of the future. this is one of the signs of the day of judgment, that a dabba, a creature, will come out. What that creature looks like, only Allah knows best. And that creature, it's not a human being, will speak to people. And that is one of the major signs of the day of judgment. So Surah Naml predicts that as well, that this is going to happen as well. And towards the end of it all, it mentions the same thing that Surah Al-Ankabut mentioned, which is, إِنَّمَا أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَعْبُدَ رَبَّ هَذِهِ الْبَلْدَةِ الَّذِي حَرَّمَهَا وَلَهُ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ وَأُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَأَنْ أَتْلُوَ الْقُرْآنَ, that I read the Qur'an. I'm told to worship the master of this city, of Mecca, and I've been told, commanded to read the Qur'an. The same ending, a very similar ending in both surahs. And that was the part of Surah Naml that we kind of skipped before I went into the ending of Surah Ankabut. Now, let's go and let's examine the passage from Surah Al-Qasas. And let's see, inshallah, hopefully we can cover the story of Musa alayhi salam, the pre-prophethood life of Musa alayhi salam, because it is a fascinating story and it is definitely worth examining. And there's lots of lessons in it. Tawseen Meem, Allah begins the surah by saying Tawseen Meem, which is the meaning only to... the meaning of which is only known to Allah. Tilka ayatul kitab al mubin. Those are the signs of the clear book, the book that makes things clear. Natlu alayka min naba'i Musa wa Fir'auna bil haqqi liqawmi yu'minun. We are going to recite to you, or upon you, from the story of Musa and Fir'aun, for a liqawmi yu'minun, for a people, liqawmi yu'minun, who want to believe, or those who already have belief. They're both included. People who already have Iman and faith, or they want to have it. They have a little bit and they want to increase in it. So Allah says, these ayat are read so the Iman can be increased. Story is read so the Iman can be increased. Because it's the story of an oppressor losing to the oppressed people. And we see around us an oppressor oppressing the oppressed. So the story is supposed to increase our Iman and give us hope. إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ. No doubt Fir'aun was عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ, he had exalted himself on the earth. وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا, and he had made the people of the earth into groups. This is how a tyrant rules. He makes sure that everybody else is divided, so there is no united front against him. يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ. Particularly Bani Israel was the one he would oppress. يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ, he would slaughter their sons. He would do whatever he wanted with them. وَيَسْتَحِي نِسَاءَهُمْ, and he would leave their kids. And subhanAllah, Bani Israel is doing the same thing now. The Yahud are doing the same thing that was done to them. It's so stark. إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. There's no doubt he was always from the corruptors. وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. But Allah says, we wanted to confer our favor upon those who were weak. وَنَجَعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّا, and we wanted to make them leaders. وَنَجَعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ, and we wanted to make them inheritors, mean give them power in land so their generations could inherit that power and continue to have power generation after generation. So subhanAllah, these are people who were so weak that Fir'aun could kill their sons and they couldn't do anything about it. And Allah says, I wanted to make them so strong that for generations they would have power. وَنَجَعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ. This is to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can turn the tables. He can turn the tables. And it's His choice. And we have to have faith in that, and our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be strong when it comes to that. Now, He mentions وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ. We sent wahi to Ummi Musa. Doesn't mean revelation that is sent to a prophet. Because wahi, remember I was talking, mentioning in Surah Maryam, wahi in its essence is to convey a message, you know, through sign language, or discreetly convey a message. That's the essence of wahi. So وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ, that we had sent a inspiration to the mother of Musa, breastfeed him. When you are afraid that something is going to happen to him, فألقيه في اليم, then throw him in the river. ولا تخافي ولا تحزني, but don't worry and don't be sad. إن رادوه إليك, absolutely no doubt, رادوه إليك, the ism is used, not رددناه أو نردوه عليك أو إليك, رادوه إليك, the ism is used, and that's powerful and strong. إن رادوه إليك, have no doubt whatsoever that he will be returned to you, we will return him to you, have no doubt about it. وجعلوه من المرسلين, and have no doubt that we will make him of the ones who are sent, meaning a messenger. Now, this is really fascinating because Allah is telling Musa alayhi salam's mother that if you're afraid, you know, you're stressed right now, the baby's stressed, give him some food. Because food often calms the nerves. And al-di'ihi. But then if it's getting too difficult, you're fearing that the soldiers of Fir'aun will come and take him from you and kill him, then you put him in the river where they can't find him and you don't worry about it. Now imagine a mother throwing her son in a river. Right? It is something that is almost unfathomable. A mother doesn't even leave the child in the bathtub, rightfully. Right? Bathtub is a very small body of water because, you know, we're afraid something's going to happen to the child. Imagine throwing the child in a river where there is just the water can take the child wherever, and it's almost an impossible thing for a mother to do, but she did it. فَالْتَقَطَهُ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ, but the people of the family of Fir'aun picked him up from the river, and Allah said لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا, so he may become for them an enemy and a source of regret. This is foreshadowing. This, he will become an enemy and he will become a source of grief for them. إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَجُنُودَهُمَا كَانُوا خَاطِئِينَ, the Fir'aun and Haman and their armies, they were all at fault here because of what they were doing to the people. Now Musa alayhi salam was apparently very beautiful as a baby, because Allah says وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي وَلِتُصْنَعَ عَلَىٰ عَيْنِي, in Surah Taha, that I threw my love at you. أَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي, which means of course that he was also brought up in a very nice, he had lots of good personality traits, but also he was perhaps very, very cute as a baby. So when the mother of, or rather the wife of Fir'aun saw him, قَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ فِرْعَوْنَ قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ لِي وَلَكَ, she says to Fir'aun, look at this baby, he's so cute, he's going to make both of us happy. قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ لِي, it's going to make me happy, وَلَكَ, and maybe even you. Maybe you'll get happy as well. لَا تَقْتُلُوهُ عَسَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعَنَا, don't kill him, maybe he'll give us something good, we'll get something out of him. Or نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا, maybe we'll adopt him as a son. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, and they had no idea what they were doing. Now of course the mother of Musa alayhi salam, she was obviously a mother losing her child, and losing a child, not knowing what happened to her child, that's absolutely devastating. Right? And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the mothers who are suffering right now through this pain in Palestine, to give them ease and give them patience, inshallah, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them strength to bear this. The أَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا, that the heart of Musa alayhi salam's mother became completely empty. Now fu'ad is an interesting word. There's two basic words in the Quran for the heart. One is a qalb and one is a fu'ad. And the qalb is generally the way it's explained, and by Ibn Qayyim for example, is that the fu'ad is the heart that is, you know, in a state that is an emotional state. It's going through emotions. Qalb is just the heart, generically speaking. Could have emotions, could not have emotions, could be when a person is calm, could be when a person is stressed. But fu'ad in particular in the Quran is used when a person's heart is, you know, worked up. They're worked up, they're emotional, they're going through something. So this is a very interesting word to use here, because he says, أَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا, that her heart was so overcome with emotion that it almost like it just became empty. Like she was just empty of all hope. She was just about to lose it. To the point, in kadat latubidi bihi, she was about to go and reveal her secret. It's her son. As soon as she revealed it, the kid was a goner, right? Laula arrabatna ala qalbiha. Both the words are used in this ayah. Fuad and qalb. If it was not the case that we tied her heart. Rabata is to tie something. We tied her heart, meaning we made her heart firm. So when she was emotional, she could handle it. Her heart, her qalb was made firm, so her emotions could be kept in check. And that's one of the things, again, of iman. The point is that our hearts are supposed to be strong so that our emotions, we can handle them. If our iman is strong. لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And particularly so she can be of those who have iman. Those who have iman. And this is the outcome of iman. وَقَالَتْ لِأُخْتِهِ قُصِّهِ. But because she has iman, doesn't mean that she just sits there and twiddles her thumbs. She actually tries to get a plan, make a plan to get him back. So she makes a plan. The plan is, she tells the sister of Musa, قُصِّهِ, go follow him. Meaning as the box or whatever he was, the container that Musa alayhi salam was in, as it's floating down the river, she tells the sister, go and pursue this box. See where it ends up. فَبَصُرَتْ بِهِ عَنْ جُنُبٍ. So she watched from a distance, as if junub is also from ajnabi. You can use it in both meanings. She watched it as if she had no relation to that child. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. And nobody realized that she was actually the sister. You know, by the way, in Surah Qasas, there's four outstanding ladies mentioned. Number one is the mother of Musa. The second is the sister of Musa. The third is wife of Fir'aun. And the fourth one we'll come to is the wife of Musa. The girl who Musa alayhi salam actually ended up marrying. All these I mentioned in this surah to show like these women played a very important role. They played a very important role in society, and they were strong ladies of faith, of iman, of taqwa, and that's what's needed for a strong community. Now, وَقَالَ لِأُخْتِهِ قُصِّهِ فَبَصُرَتْ بِهِ عَنْ جُنُبٍ وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Now Musa alayhi salam, Allah had told him or had made him not to drink milk from anybody else. And this is something that any person who has a little baby, they will realize it's difficult sometimes for the baby to latch on. And Musa alayhi salam was basically not latching on to any other lady. So this Musa's sister steps in and she senses the opportunity. She's smart and clever enough to realize the opportunity. And she said, فَهَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَيْتٍ يَكْفُلُونَهُ لَكُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُ نَاصِحُونَ. Should I not direct you to a family that will يَكْفُلُونَهُ لَكُمْ, they will take care of him for you, وَهُمْ لَهُ نَاصِحُونَ, and they will be really good to him. Right? And as it happened, she brought him back to the mother. فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْثَ خَرَّ عَيْنُهَا. SubhanAllah, the baby was brought back to the mother. Right? Of goes through a river, goes through the pass of Fir'aun, and ends up right back at the mother of Musa alayhi salam. See, this is an introduction to the surah. Because Allah says, the oppressed here will overcome the oppressor. And here the baby is the most, is the weak will overcome the strong. Right? And here the baby is the weakest person, thing you can think of. It's helpless. And he still overcame the strongest, which was Fir'aun. Because Allah managed to get him out of there. Right? SubhanAllah, it's so amazing. The weakest overcame the strongest. The little baby. Represented, symbolized by the little baby. And the mother got the baby back. And SubhanAllah, not just that. Just she could, the baby was brought to her every day. She would feed the baby every day multiple times. Get to see the baby every day multiple times. And receive a salary for feeding her own baby. SubhanAllah. So it also shows the power of how incredibly Allah answers du'as. She's making du'a for her baby, of course, right? Which mother who has iman won't make du'a for the safe return of her baby? And look what unimaginable circumstances Allah created for her. مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. He gives him a way out, the one who has taqwa of Allah. And he gives that person, provides for that person in ways he couldn't or she couldn't have imagined. SubhanAllah. Really powerful. Then, of course, Musa alayhi salam becomes big and strong. بَلَغَ شُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى. وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ شُدَّهُ is the same word, phrase is used for Yusuf alayhi salam. In Surah Yusuf, the same word is used. I'll actually contrast that because this is a really interesting study between the two prophets. The similarities between their story is really interesting. I'm just going to comment on two quick things here. The first one is the statement of the wife of, or rather the Aziz. He says, أكرمي مثواه عسى أن ينفعنا أو نتخذه ولدا. Notice that? That perhaps he will give us some good, or we'll adopt him as a son. The same thing was said by the wife of Fir'aun. She said, عسى أن ينفعنا أو نتخذه ولدا. Perhaps we'll adopt him, or perhaps he'll give us some benefit, or we'll adopt him. Also notice that when وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ آتَيْنَهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. When he became and he reached maturity, Yusuf alayhi salam, we gave him hukm, judgment and wisdom, وَعِلْمًا and knowledge. About Musa alayhi salam, Allah says, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى آتَيْنَهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. When he reached maturity and istawa, there's a word added there. You notice that, right? This word istawa is added here. آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. We gave him the ability to have good judgment and ilma and knowledge. وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Both ayahs actually end the exact same way. This is really amazing because with Musa alayhi salam, in particular, istawa is to show that he became very powerful. He became very strong. He became like ripped, to use, and just for lack of better words, he was just absolutely ripped when he became a young man. Istawa is used, I believe it's used to describe the bark of a tree. The bark of a tree is very strong, it's very thick. So he became like the bark of a tree, meaning like his body, his arms were, you know, just massive. So subhanAllah, he's described very interestingly here. Notice a contrast between the two prophets. Both of them lost their parents. Both of them were rescued by other people and adopted into families, but they were not their own. And both of them were turned into prophets and Allah gave them wisdom and knowledge. But Musa, a word is added. Yusuf alayhi salam grew up as a normal teenager, as a good, normal man. But Musa alayhi salam grew up and he was huge. Right? He was massive. This is important because the next ayah tells us, دَخَلَ الْمَدِينَةَ عَلَى حِينِ غَفْلَةً. He entered the city, because he used to live in the palace. He entered the city at the time, حِينِ غَفْلَةً, when people were sleeping. When people were, it says the time of inattention, حِينِ غَفْلَةً, the time of غَفْلَةً here means when they were sleeping. The time of Qailula, it's the desert. At the time of, at noon, it's very hot, so people go to sleep at that time. So nobody's around the streets. That's what it means. He's going to the city when nobody's around the streets. فَوَجَدَ فِيهَا رَجُلَيْنِ يَقْتَتِلَانِ. He finds two people fighting. Nobody's around, and the two people are fighting. He comes closer. هَذَا مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ وَهَذَا مِنْ عَدُوِهِ. This person is from Musa al-Assal's people, and this person is from his enemies. فاستغاثه الذي من شيعته على الذي من عدوه. So the one who was from Musa's people recognized that this guy is obviously from Bani Israel and asked for his help. فوكزه موسى فقضى عليه. So Musa alayhi salam punched him. وكزه is to ضربه بكف يده. Punched him. فقضى عليه. And remember, Musa alayhi salam was huge and ripped. His one punch basically killed the guy. You know, Muhammad Ali had the one punch against Sonny Liston, right? When he knocked him out after like 35 seconds or something. The famous poster when he's standing over him. This is a rematch. And that's a great moment in sporting history. Now imagine Musa alayhi salam. He does even, he one-ups Muhammad Ali. He knocks him out with a punch but kills him. Forget knocking him out. And just, he's down for the count. This guy is dead. SubhanAllah. To put in perspective how strong he was, Musa alayhi salam. Just one punch killed a person. Now, of course, Musa alayhi salam did not intend to kill a person. If you want to kill a person, you don't punch him. You basically go for the throat and you choke them. Right? So this is what's called al-qatl khata'an. This is, you know, killing, you know, unintentionally. Like somebody gets killed in a car accident. There's rulings for that in the Sharia. So Musa alayhi salam realizes immediately something went wrong. He said, هذا من عمل الشيطان. This is from the doing of shaitan. إِنَّهُ عَدُوٌ مُضِلٌ مُبِينٌ. He is the one who is an enemy. He is the one who is there to take me astray, to take people astray clearly. Now he's of course not blaming shaitan for the punch, but he's realizing that the shaitan has incited him, whispered in his ear, and he reacted without sound judgment. And that's what caused this. So he is مُضِل. Shaitan is whispers, he incites. And that's how he takes people astray, through emotional incitement. Here Musa was incited emotionally. Right? Are you going to take that? You're going to see your own people get beat up. You're going to take this? Go punch him. Right? And that punch basically nailed that person. So SubhanAllah, here he realizes that this whispering of shaitan caused him to act in a manner that was not rational, and that's what led to the killing of this person. And immediately he said, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي. Master, I have wronged myself. I have truly oppressed and wronged myself. فَغْفِرْ لِي. So forgive me. فَغَفَرَ لَهُ. فَغَفَرَ لَهُ. So immediately he forgave him. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Because there's no doubt he is the one who forgives, and he is the one who is merciful. The notice the word fa here. فَغَفَرَ لَهُ. Fa للتعقيب is to show something happens right away. Remember I said yesterday there's two words in Arabic for then. There is ثُمَّ and there is fa. ثُمَّ means that there is a longer period of time. And we saw that in the ayah of the fetus developing. That the phase that was long, Allah used ثُمَّ. The phase that was very quick, that happened right after each other, Allah SWT used the word fa. The phase where there is an overlap between two phases, thumma is used. The phase where there is a quick transition, fa is used. So fa is to show quickness. He said, Allah forgive me, فَغَفَرَ لَهُ. Allah forgave him immediately. Forgave him immediately. This shows that when a person truly asks for forgiveness, sin is gone right away. Person is sincere. I make a mistake and I ask Allah to forgive me, and I'm sincere in that, that sin is not there anymore. At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanba laha, like the Prophet ﷺ said. The one who is able to make tawbah, turn back and apologize for the mistake, is like the one who has no sin. Kaman la dhanba lahu. So here we see Musa alayhi salam showing us, or this ayah rather showing us, that Musa asked Allah for forgiveness, فَغَفَرَ لَهُ. Immediately he was forgiven. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. قَالَ رَبِّ بِمَا أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِ. He said, Master, because you have favored me so greatly, that I recognize my fault and I can apologize for making mistakes. فَلَنْ أَكُونَ ظَهِيرًا لِلْمُجْرِمِينَ. This is the key part of tawbah, that I won't go back to my bad behavior again. I won't ever help the criminals again. This person who asked me for his help clearly was wrong too. I'm not going to help wrong people or criminals afterwards. فَأَصْبَحَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبُ. He became very afraid, because of course he's now somebody who killed somebody, and يَتَرَقَّبُ, he's anticipating that something's going to come up, right? Life is no longer just, you know, at ease. So فَإِذَا الَّذِي اسْتَنْصَرَهُ بِالْأَمْسِ يَسْتَصْرِخُ. The ones who was asking for his help yesterday, يَسْتَصْرِخُهُ, again asked for his help. قال له موسى موسى said to him إنك لغوي مبين. He said you are the one who is the troublemaker here. Clearly you're the one who's the troublemaker here. What's interesting, by the way, is the ayah mentioned before, على حين غفلة, right? The time when people were sleeping, nobody's in the city, that's when this happened. So nobody saw this happen. But people found out about it afterwards. Only that guy and Musa knew about it. So now this time, when this man is calling Musa alayhi salam for help again, this time Musa is like, this guy is a troublemaker. So Musa wanted to teach this guy, the Bani Israeli, a lesson. And he wanted to basically take him and rough him up. This man sees Musa come towards him, and he's seen Musa punch a guy and kill him. Right? He's seen Musa knock out a guy, just kill him. So he is now afraid for his own life. So he rats out Musa alayhi salam. He says, قَالَ يَا مُوسَىٰ أَتُرِيدُ أَن تَقْتُلَنِي كَمَا قَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا بِالْأَمْسِ. He rats him out and he says, Musa, do you want to kill me like you killed the man yesterday? To defend himself, he basically gives away Musa alayhi salam. إِن تُرِيدُ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ جَبَّارًا فِي الْأَرْضِ. You only want to be a tyrant. You want to show people that you're strong. You want to be a bully. That's all you want to be, Musa. وَمَا تُرِيدُ أَن تَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُصْلِحِينَ. And you don't want to be one who is muslih, the one who fixes things. Like, what irony? What irony? I mean, you can almost laugh at the irony. It's so sad. Otherwise, it would be funny. The guy who is saying it is the one who is causing all the problems. And he's telling Musa that you're the one who's a tyrant and you're the troublemaker and it's all your fault. Now, subhanAllah, Musa alayhi salam realizes that now time's up. He has to run away. A person comes and tells him, run away. Right? That's it. People, you're about to be killed. They're plotting against you. That's it. إِنِّي لَكَ مِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. I'm truly helping you to... I'm truly trying to help you out here. فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبْ. So he left that city immediately. Fa, right away. Right away he left. يَتَرَقَّبُ. And again, fearful and anticipating that somebody's going to come after him, chasing him. And as he's leaving, قَالَ رَبِّ نَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. He says, my Lord, save me from the wrongdoing people. It's kind of like somebody who runs a red light, and then, you know, there's a cop around the corner, and they're like, oh, he's coming after me, right? And you're driving and just looking over your shoulder, waiting for that light to flash. يَتَرَقَّبْ, يَتَرَقَّبْ. Hope is knowing that cop is coming after you, but subhanAllah, maybe he was checking his phone or something, and he didn't see you, right? So this thing happened with Musa alayhi salam. He actually escaped without being followed. Without being followed. ولما توجهت القاء مدين قال عسى ربي أن يهديني سبا سبيل. He actually got all the way. He faced Madian. He knew the geography of the area, and he's like, I'm gonna go to Madian. He faced Madian and he made the dua. عسى ربي أن يهديني سبا سبيل. Perhaps my master will take me to the right path, because it's easy to lose your way without a GPS. Even in Toronto, imagine losing your way in the desert. Much more easier. But subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him reach Madian. وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنَ. When he came close to the water of Madian. Now, Madian apparently had a body of water that was, you know, basically the sign of that this is where the city begins. So وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ. He found a bunch of people. أُمَّةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ. Not a nation, a bunch of people. Ummah is used for people who all had the same intention. Ummah, the word is used to describe here people who all want the same thing. They all want water. So when Allah calls us an ummah, He's implying we all want the same thing. To worship Him. We all want Jannah. إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. When He says, you are one nation. Like those prophets were one nation. It's because you want what they wanted. Which is Jannah. You are occupied with the Akhirah. That's what your goal is. And Ummah is people who share, who are like-minded. So all these people wanted the same thing. They wanted the water. Yasqoon, and they're taking water for their sheep and their cattle. وَوَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِ مُمْرَأَتَيْنِ تَذُودَانِ. And he found two women that were standing by the side, تَذُودَانِ, and they were holding their sheep, pulling them away from the water. They were doing exactly the opposite. Musa alayhi salam says, قَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُمَا. He says, what's the deal with you two?
قالتا لا نسقي حتى يصدر الرعاء.
They said, we don't take water until all the shepherds have taken water. وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ. And our father, there's two meanings. Either our father is an old man or our father is a big sheikh. Stay away from us. Right? Watch out. Our father is a big sheikh. Don't try to do anything to us. Don't try to hit on us. Our father is a big sheikh. He's got a big standing in society. Both meanings are acceptable. Now, Musa says, so Allah says, فَسَقَى لَهُمَا. He gave them water. ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الظِّلِ. He went to the shade. فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. My master, I am in need of anything you can give me. Whatever you give me, I'm in total need of it. Totally desperate for it. فَجَاءَتُ إِحْدَاهُمَا. Then one of them comes. One of the two sisters comes back. تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا. She's walking with shyness. قَالَتْ إِنَّ أَبِي يَدْعُوكَ لِيَجْزِيَكَ أَجْرَ مَا سَقَيْتَ لَنَا. Our father is calling you so he can pay you back for what you've done for us. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُ. So when Musa went to him and told him what happened, he said, don't worry, نَجَوْتَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. You are safe. Nothing's going to happen to you here. One of the two said, قَالَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا يَا أَبَتِ اسْتَهْجِرْهُ. One of the two said, father, hire him. استأجره. إن خير من استأجرت القوي الأمين. The best person you can hire is one who's strong and who's trustworthy. And we know he's very strong. He fought off all the shepherds. And we know he's very trustworthy. He did all of this voluntarily. He's al-qawi and he's al-amin. Now the father says, actually, إني أريد أن أنكحك إحدى بنتي هاتين. I actually want you to marry one of my two daughters. Ya Musa. عَلَىٰ أَن تَأْجُرَنِي ثَمَانِيَ حِجَجْ. The condition is, the dowry is, that you be my shepherd for 8 years. And if you were to do it for 10, then that's good, and that's something that's bonus. And Musa says, that is it, we'll agree to this contract. And that was the end of the story. This story is filled with lessons. Like, subhanAllah, I think we can talk about this story for a good an hour and a half just itself, this one page of Qur'an. The amount of things you can learn from it. But I'm going to point out basically two things here. Okay, the first is Musa alayhi salam's dua. Right? We notice the weak and how Allah is helping the weak. And this surah's big idea is Allah takes the oppressed who are weak and He will make them strong and powerful. Here Musa alayhi salam is totally, like, he is homeless. He's got nothing. He's got no family. He's got no job, no money. He's got absolutely nothing. The only thing he owns is the clothes that he's wearing. And he makes dua to Allah. And within a few ayat, just right after his dua, the girl comes, he goes to meet the father, he tells the story, and he gets married. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for any khair, anything that's good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a house, a family, a job. SubhanAllah. All the things that he lost when he was leaving Madian, instantly he gained back right away. You see how Allah answered the dua of Musa alayhi salam's mother? Gave her everything back. Here Musa alayhi salam as well. He lost everything, and one dua he made sincerely, and Allah subhanAllah gave him back everything. Because the duas are answered. Their answer is, it's a done deal. And phenomenally, subhanAllah, you notice when he makes a dua, before he makes a dua, he does something good. And that's what we're supposed to do. When we're making a dua to Allah, we do something good, and we make dua, that's called seeking a wasila to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that helps in the quick answer of the dua. The second thing to notice here is, we notice the two sisters. Okay, now notice this. He saw two sisters that were standing there, two women that were standing there. Okay? He goes up and he talks to them. When he's talking to them, he's very, you know, he's almost professional. He had no reason to talk to them, but he still goes up and talks to them. And in a very professional manner, not hitting on them. And they also, أَبُونَا شَيْخٌ غَبِيرٌ, stay away from us. Right? When one of them comes to talk to Musa alayhi salam one more time, تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا. She comes walking shyly. Again, not trying to hit on Musa alayhi salam. This is the adab, the akhlaq of people who have iman, that we have to interact with the other gender. But the way we do it is so important. The way we speak, the words we use, the tone that we use, right? The way a person smiles, right? That gives away everything. Here Musa is interacting with these two young girls, and he's also a young man. But you see the utmost respect and barriers that are placed between the two by both of them, by both parties. And this is the from the good manners of the believer. Last thing here is we notice the two sisters are mentioned, then one of the two is mentioned, جاءت إحداهما, then قالت إحداهما, one of the two is mentioned, one of the two says, father hire him, I want you to marry one of my two daughters. Do you notice it's all ambiguous? Two sisters, one of the two came back to get Musa, one of the two said, father hire him, the father said, marry one of the two, and Musa marries one of the two. The question is, which of the two did he marry? Which of the two said, father hire him? Which of the two came back to see Musa? And the answer is, it doesn't matter. And that's the point. People's personal lives are none of our business. People's personal lives, their personal business, is none of our business. This ambiguity in this ayat is implying that. Today, you go to a... when you're checking out of a grocery store, all you see are magazines that are filled with gossip, talking about people's lives and their personal business. And that's all they talk about. And somebody who talks only about that, there's TV channels and websites dedicated only to this. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us a lesson. Here is a juicy story. Musa getting married to a young girl. And that the way they got married is really, it's like something that could be in a movie, subhanAllah. But nothing is mentioned of the personal details. Who he married, none of your business. Who said that, none of your business. Which one came and spoke to Musa, none of your business. Only Allah knows best. Right? So show to imply that, look, when it comes to people's personal lives, it's their personal stuff, don't worry about it. It's not important. Mind your business. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ مَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ. From the beauty of a person's Islam is leaving what does not concern him. It's minding his own business. Minding his own business. And this ayah, or these ayat, one of the implications there is Allah is teaching us this lesson as well. Barakallahu li walakum fil Qur'an al-Azim wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-hakim. We'll end here inshallah. We're already over time. JazakAllah khairan for sticking around. Anything, any questions, any comments we'll take right now. Otherwise, we'll call it a day. Inshallah ta'ala. No. No, I genuinely mean it. Not in a bad way.
Exactly.
JazakAllah khairan.